First of all, that was an incredible episode. We went a little bit longer there, so this is going to have to be a little shorter here. I'm sure you guys will understand.
Sure.
But, man, you know, Justin and I, to be fully transparent, we're both kind of feeling under the weather. We've got some complicated situations in our churches. And it's just been a rough start to the year. And so Justin and I were thinking about what it is.
And we're feeling a lot of pressure and demands and different things.
So when we started thinking about what we wanted to record today, and I'm like, you know what we need? We need a new reminder of the rest of Christ for 2023. And so, first of all, we knew you needed it. And we knew our churches needed it. And we knew we needed it. And it was so good. We definitely said things today I don't think we've ever said before. We've used illustrations we've never used before.
Sure.
We tied things together we've never tied before. And that's what's so fun about the power of the gospel is that it's like in the endless ocean. The deeper you go in, the broader and bigger and more weighty. Because, you know, if you've ever gone down deep in a pool, you can, like, feel its power and pressure. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, the deeper I go into the gospel, the more of the power of it I feel. Mm-hmm. And that weight of, like, whoa, this is, like, this, I can feel this in a good way, not in a bad way.
No, I hear that. I have a number of things on my mind. I may just say them.
Yeah.
And these may be future podcast episodes in their own right. I don't know. One thing I'm thinking about preaching in churches in our land, in our day. You know, when we hear 2 Timothy 4, you preach the word in season, out of season, whatever, whatever. And then there's going to come a time when people will put around them what their itching ears want to hear. Usually the way that's presented is we're going to put around us people who say things that are pleasing to us in an obvious way, like that are easy, that are sweet like candy, that are whatever. And usually the guys that talk about, like, that verse in particular, they're actually, you know, we need preachers who are going to preach the law and are going to preach this and that and the other. And I agree with that to some extent.
Yeah, there's plenty of law preaching going on.
But here's the deal. I don't know that it's thought about a lot in this term, in this regard. I think that there are a lot of people, amongst the serious-minded, there are a lot of people that want their pastors, their preachers, to preach the law, right? Like, their itching ears are itching for law, not gospel. And why? I mean, there's a number of reasons. I mean, self-righteousness, you know, all of that stuff, true. But I also think, John, I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 1. The message of the cross is what? It's foolishness.
Yeah.
So, grace.
That's why Paul has to say
cross,
he's not ashamed of it.
Right, exactly. In part, it's a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Right, that's why he has to say he's not ashamed of it. Because I think, man, deep down for a lot of people, it makes a whole lot more sense, and it takes away some of the scandal and the folly of the cross if their pastor gets up there and just pounds law all the time. It's like, yeah. Yeah, we need to talk about what God requires of us and what he expects of us and how we're to live, because in our minds somehow, it, I think, lessens some of that tension we feel over grace and over Christ has done everything. And you're telling me really that all I need to do is believe upon Jesus' name and the wrath of God is satisfied and I'm declared just? That's hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, that narrow way, right? In Matthew 7, I think, you know, Jesus is the narrow way, right? He is, because this is unnatural for people, stumbling blocks and folly and all the rest, because law makes more sense, mm-hmm. that we would just earn it. And if you come in and you talk law to me all the time, then I can reconcile that in my mind easier than I can reconcile a God who took on flesh in order to die to save his people, and a God who took on flesh and was born under the law in order to fulfill it.
That's right.
Because that sounds... You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be irreverent here, but that sounds crazy to me.
Well, there's a reason why for all of time and all of Scripture, and it will forever be captured, Paul even understands the insanity of it, because he says, well, then should just grace abound? I mean, I love that that's in Scripture, because it helps me
I'm
not crazy. I think the gospel's crazy. And Paul goes, yeah, so do I, but don't worry, you're not crazy. Yeah.
Right. No, anyway, it's just an observation. That was on my mind, because I was just thinking, there's a lot of people in the pews week after week that really are wanting their preachers to preach law.
Yeah.
And I think one of the ways that we all can be involved and engaged in seeing this kind of Reformation stuff, this like marrow, you know, to use the marrow controversy language, like to see this stuff continue to advance is for more and more people to be like, no, we actually don't need more law. We need the law preached rightly. Amen. First use, second use, third use.
Yeah.
But we need actually much more clarity on the gospel and God's grace and the sufficiency of Christ. And that's what we need to be demanding from our preachers and from our pastors. And if that's not what we're getting, then we get into this whole sticky situation. Like, can a church be reformed, you know, if you're not reformed and revitalized? Can the preaching really change if you're not the one that's preaching? That's tough. And then it's like, if I'm not in a church where this is true, like where Justin, what you're describing, law and gospel, if that's not happening in my church, what do I do? I'm not trying to open that can of worms again. But I mean, yeah, it's like we can affect this by demanding gospel preaching from our pastors and finding churches where we can get that.
Mm. Amen.
It's just a thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you supporting us, I am very optimistic about this podcast that we recorded today. I think that it was fresh and new, and I think it'll be used. I know the episodes we've done in the past, things like Christian, you're not on probation, you're not crazy, leaving pietism, have all been really powerful podcasts in the past that have brought hope and joy. And we think this is, you know, we didn't really want to be clever with the title. It's kind of like, listen, this is what this is. Let's go find it. And so we just pray that was encouraging for you. I know at this moment I'm still weary in my body, but my mind and my heart are definitely feeling restored. It's kind of hard not to when you start thinking about, okay, this is not my hope. It's far beyond what I can do.
True. And I'm just comforted with the reality of the law and the judgment seat is a comfort because, again, it brings me to the end of myself in such a way where I have to go to Christ and I have to ask myself, like, what does he say about his own work? And what does he bid me to come to him for? And he does bid that I come to find rest and peace, not fear and trepidation. And I do know that there are times, I said this on the regular show, I think, there are times when I'm sluggish to go to him, when I'm fearful, when I'm hesitant to go to him, when I'm really struggling, when I'm in sin, when I know I'm wrong. When I'm disappointed in myself, you know, it's like, do I really feel that freedom and that comfort to go to Christ? And I don't know that we do. I do think that I've been made to feel in my life that Jesus is the master of the bait and switch, and that he's more exacting toward those who are his than he is toward those who aren't. And that's absurd.
Yeah.
But this is what this kind of law-heavy collapsing of law and gospel stuff produces.
I mean, this goes back to Paul.
Law preaching produces, man.
Yep. I mean, Paul tells Timothy, in season and out of season.
Yeah.
And I would say right now, preaching the gospel is starting to fall out of season.
Yeah.
You know, theonomy and Christian nationalism have fallen into season.
Yeah, I know we've said this before, but if we really knew the comfort and the peace that is ours in Christ, if we really knew how gentle, and we felt this all the time, like how gentle he is toward us, how compassionate, how much he loves us, I promise all of us, we wouldn't sin more. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy talk, because that's the implication all the time, is that if you say this stuff and if this is what you major on, you're going to open the door to lawlessness and apathy. I could not disagree more strongly.
Yeah.
Because I think that for the saints, it's been said before, the love of Christ compels us.
Yeah.
And it's not our love to him, it's his to us.
It's so good.
You know, and I think we all have to reorient our thinking and reprogram and detox from the things that we naturally assume and from many things that we've heard over the years.
It's like the gospel cleanses your conscience.
Yeah.
And I don't want to then go back and dirty my conscience again. I do, but I don't want to. And that's, you know, it's that war that Paul has in Romans 7. So anyways, we've got to close this down. It's been an amazing conversation. But Justin and I have to go do our pastoral duties, as Mr. Nacho says. So for those of you who don't know, I pretty much quote one movie, and it's Nacho Libre. So we have to go to our priestly duties.
Lord.
We have to go give the Lord's sheep away. All right.
And the Doyers.
And the Doyers. I love you guys. We will see you next time.